bottom. I don't have my
testing.
I don't have my music.
Right here on the floor.
So, I think he's going to try to offer people.
I have my gum in my mouth. Huh.
Well, so it's just going to be two praise song and two hymn song. And are we doing the hymn song, the To God Be the Glory, first and third verse, right, Donna? And Wonderful Grace of Jesus, we can do first and third verse too. Ready? Okay.
I don't think that's the one. I opened it up for you. Goodness of God.
Oh, you opened it up for me?
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give you a song list.
Where? I don't have Goodness of God. Oh yeah, I do.
Goodness of God, and then go that way.
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Grace, I'm going to let you sing the soprano, and I'm going to sing second.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Sing out loud.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Thank you.
If we take our gum off, it would be even prettier.
Yeah, I was chewing it and I was trying to sing. Do you have like a paper I can put it on? I have Who You Say I Am next.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sure. Well, I'm trying to listen to her so I can sing second. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Okay.
Looking at the words up there. I'm looking at my paper.
I know it, but I need it first when people start singing.
Oh.
Yeah. I need it to match what you're singing.
You know, I have a fly here always attached to me.
Oh, no.
I was like, last time when we were practicing, it happened too.
Yeah. Your voice will sound great, ladies. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Donna.
Oh, to God be the glory.
To him.
Hmm?
We're going to sing first and third, I think. Okay, excuse me.
He gave us his son to live that desire.
words for the second, for the next verse he did.
I think she put it the third verse.
Oh, third.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Grandma. I didn't know when you're coming. Okay. And the last one we do. Hmm? You got Gracie pants?
Wait, can I see them? Can I see the pants? I think they're right. Is it the one with the zipper? Right. Okay, good. Okay, yeah, that's it. Okay. Wait, this one's like really high. Yeah.
We can sing it low. I wouldn't sing second for this one. Go ahead. It's high. I don't think we have in a different key. You have a different key in the church hymn book?
It's weird how you printed it, because I looked, because it shows the next page. Look, how you printed it, okay, I can't really show you. It shows the next page, and then I read that, and then it messed me up.
Yeah, don't read that, because when I copied, it's messed up. Was it too high, Donna? Can you look it on the church hymn book? Not that.
Huh?
Oh, we don't want to sing that. If you want to play with flats, I can do my capo thing. How many flats? Oh.
Let's see.
How shall my tongue be started? How shall his praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free for the wonderful grace of Jesus. Changes me. When you fill the matchless grace of sing it. They can sing.
I keep messing up because of the
which
paper.
One?
Because the print.
Okay, Gracie. Oh, magnify is C, and then what?
Wait.
What do you? Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. What chord do you play? The last line of "Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name." What chord do you play?
For what part?
Oh, magnify is what?
I'd do an F sharp. C.
C where?
C, G.
F sharp G C G C.
I don't start with a C.
O magnify is what?
Oh, I don't play anything for O magnify.
Okay, what's the first one?
Just do C for the O, and then when you go magnify, I do C or F sharp. That with
praise
F natural.
Is G.
Praise, wait.
Magnify is F, and then what's the F? Name of Jesus, that's the G.
I do C. Name of, I do C, and then Jesus, I do F. Do too much.
No?
I don't like this one. I don't like singing this one.
She don't like singing, so we might have to act. Huh?
I'm okay with it. I just don't want to sing it as much.
What part do you do now? Are you done singing?
I think so.
Are we starting with goodness of God?
Mm-hmm. Good evening. If you're over playing basketball, please get in here. It's time to quit. But glad you're all here worshiping with us tonight. Just to be honest with you, I'm not used to Fifth Sunday Rally. Have we ever hosted Fifth Sunday Rally here before? We have, okay. It's been a long time. I haven't been here long enough, but I'm working on that. So glad you're all here tonight. My wife Ching and Gabby and Grace are going to lead us in worship, but before we do that, we're going to pray. Does anybody have announcements tonight, revivals or anything? All right, let's open with prayer tonight. Father God, we thank you for this time you give us together. Lord, we thank you for the reason that we come here tonight, and that is to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray that you'll be with our worship, everything we say, everything we do. We pray it'll be in accordance to your will. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with those prayer concerns, those that are sick, those that are battling COVID, those that have lost loved ones, I pray that you'll comfort them. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because no matter what this world has to throw at us, we have victory because of the cross. And as we come tonight to worship, I pray that what we say and do is according to you. And we thank you for that great sacrifice that Jesus did for us over 2,000 years ago. And that is the reason we come here tonight. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good evening, everyone. We have mixed it up a little bit of songs. We have some young one that came and some more mature that came. So we thought we'll do two hymn song and two praise songs. So to sing praise song, we would like for you all to stand up. If you know the song, please sing along with us. And if you don't know the songs, please listen to the words and let's worship God together.
Running up to me, my life
good. You may be seated.
thank the ladies for helping us out tonight. I think they were a little bit nervous. I'll talk about the songs a little bit in the sermon, but we kind of go two for the old and two for the young, so I hope you like that. Can you hear me okay? It needs to be turned up a little bit, Donna, just a little bit. Most of you know me. I was raised over here at Lancaster, Illinois. How many of you know where Lancaster, Illinois is? And it is Lancaster. It's not Lancaster. All those guys over there are wrong. But I was raised over there, Church of Christ over there. And then I went to the ministry in 1995, graduated in 99, started out at Clay City, Illinois. Some of you know where that's at. I was there 7 years. I went to my home church in Lancaster for 7 years. Then went to Indianapolis. I don't know what I was thinking. I wanted to become a Hoosier, I guess. But couldn't wait to get back here to help you guys pay your taxes. So came back here started interning here. Actually, got out of ministry for a while, worked at Toyota, and I knew that's not where I was supposed to be. So came and ministered here, started here interning at 2020 of February, and they hired me in May of 2020. So we've been here a little over a year, so the honeymoon is over. But we've come to love the people at Central Christian Church a lot, and I hope they've come to love us. And it has been a great blessing being back in God's country. I don't know if the Bible Belt goes all the way over in Indianapolis, Indiana, but it sure does go in Lawrenceville, Illinois. Amen. And I'm glad you're here worshiping with us tonight. And in my 25 years of ministry, I want you to know I have seen the ups in the church, and I've seen the downs in the church. Anyone else? I've seen the church prosper, and I've seen the church stagnate. I've seen churches grow, and I've seen churches die. So tonight, I want to talk to you, what's wrong with the church? But before I do that, I want you to interact with me. What do you love about the church? Nothing?
The minister.
The minister. Okay. Thank you. I'll pay you later. Anyone else? What do you love about the Church of Jesus Christ? The people. What else? The what?
The head of the church.
The head of the church, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen to that. Anyone else? Fellowship? Did I hear that? Worship. How about worship? Anything else you love about the church? Nothing? What? Mints? Is that what you said? What? The gym. He loves the gym. A while ago, you people come here and said, where's everybody at? And I said, they're over in the gym playing. We got to get them over here, but they're all here. I could go around and say, what do you not like about the church? But that may take way too much time. But I want you to know, I hope there's more that we love about the church than we don't love about the church. And I hope that's true. Well, here's the thing. What's wrong with the church? I know what you're going to say. The coronavirus. That's what's wrong with the church. I would love to blame everything that's going on in our church on the coronavirus. But I want you to know, way before the coronavirus ever showed up, I could see problems in the church. Anyone else? I could see the stagnation. I could see the decline in numbers. I could see the lack of commitment to the church. And when I was a kid, we didn't have sports on Wednesday night. It was a no can do. It's just the way it was. Today, they not only have practice on Wednesday, they sometimes have practice on Sunday evening. Can I just say that's not right? We should not allow that to happen in the church. And it's easy to blame all this stuff on the coronavirus, but I want you to know it goes far further back than that. Matter of fact, it goes all the way back to the New Testament church. We are an imperfect people. We serve in imperfect churches. And we definitely live in an imperfect nation. I still believe that we're a nation under God for now. But if we keep on going down this downward spiral, I believe that God's going to take his eyes off of America. I believe that. So we are an imperfect people. We serve an imperfect church. And all the way back to the New Testament times, authors of the New Testament, from the four Gospels to Paul and his letters to the church at Ephesus, Galatia, Thessalonica, etc., etc., there was problems in the church. You look at the book of Ephesians. Christ said, hey, you've forsaken your first love. Go back to the way you were. Remember that? And Paul had to write to the Corinthians. And I could talk up here all day long about the mistakes of the Corinthian church and how God used a dysfunctional church like that To prosper the church is beyond me, but God can do what God wants to do. What is wrong with the church today? Well, here's some complaints. Write them down. The church nowadays is all about entertainment. If we don't have the blazing instruments and lights, and now some churches got the smoke. Can I just tell you here at Central, I hope we don't ever get the smoke. But some churches think if you don't have all that going on, you can't grow. I disagree. Do you? If you don't sing the latest songs that are in our world today, your church will not grow. Now, granted, the Bible says sing unto the Lord a new song. I believe it's important that we learn new songs, but it's also important that we sing some of the old praise songs as well. I thought sure I'd get an amen on that one. Here's one. I believe this. I believe today's preachers are too shallow. They preach only what their people want to hear because they're afraid they might offend somebody. Here's another one. The church is a social gathering where people come and hear the latest gossip and they find out what's going on in the community. I've also seen the church used as a political standpoint to get ahead, to know what's going on. And others might say this, the church is too judgmental, legalistic, and they're unforgiving. And unfortunately, there's a lot of truth to that. But I also want you to know, there are a lot of good things going on in the church. As a matter of fact, I can't think of an organization I'd rather be a part of more than the Church of Jesus Christ. I like coming to church. I think you heard about the minister who woke up one day and he said, honey, I don't want to go to church. And she said, why not? She goes, well, I don't like those people down there. And she said, well, you got to go to church. You're the minister. You need to get down there. And I think a lot of people feel that way. But in the first century church, there was a lot of problems going on. So you don't have to look too far in the Bible to find out all the problems that went on in the Church of Jesus Christ. And they're still going on, and they will continue to go on until what? Until Jesus comes back. You're not going to go to a perfect church. Because if you find a perfect church, guess what? You can't be a part of it because you're an imperfect person. But I want you to know tonight that there is hope in the church. I believe that some good things are happening. The full armor of God, that's a good thing happening in our churches. Now, I don't know everything there is to know about full armor school, but I think it's a good thing from what I've read. Other churches are starting. Mount Carmel's starting a Christian school. Lancaster continues to be a Christian school. And some of you are on the board of the Christian schools, and I think that's great, don't you? That the message is being spread to our kids because they need to hear it. So there is hope for the church today. Listen to this following poem. I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be, a church where members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way, a church that has no empty pews, where the pastor never sings the blues. I like that one. A church where leaders always speak and none is proud and all are meek. Such perfect church there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still we'll work and still we'll pray and plan to make our own the best we can. I like that. And if you're sitting there tonight thinking, I belong to the perfect church, there is nothing wrong with my church, I want you to know someone's telling you a lie. Because we are an imperfect people in an imperfect church, and there are problems in every church. According to a 2019 Lifeway research study, 4,000 Protestant churches closed their doors in 2019. That's pre-COVID study. That's 375 churches closing their door each month and 87 churches closing their doors each week across our great land. I want you to know we have some problem churches. What is wrong with today's church? And if you don't think it could happen to you, I want you to know you're wrong. Because I've seen thriving, prospering churches close their door because of one or two things that happened in the church and they couldn't get past it and they closed their doors. I've studied churches that closed and I found out that in the checking account they had plenty of money, but there wasn't very much in the spiritual account. And they died not because of money, they died because of a lack of spirituality in the church. In his book, Autopsy of a Deceased Church, anyone read it? Author Tom Rainer examined 14 different churches in his study, and although each of these studies came from different geographical locations, all of them died for five of the same reasons. Here they are. Number one, worship styles. They were unwilling to change, did the same old thing the same old way, and people got tired of it, and they quit going to church. Number two, they were more in love with the church building than what they were the people in the church. Seen that happen, haven't you? Number three, members would not accept a new pastor because the previous pastor had been there 30 years and he was their pastor. Number four, members focus more on their wants and their needs instead of the wants and needs of other people. They look inwardly instead of outwardly. And fifth, members were unwilling to change the good old days, the way things were. Have you ever heard people say, "I remember the good old days"? I have. And maybe they were good old days, but I want you to know, I believe today's church can have some good old days, don't you? I believe that. All 14 of these now deceased churches all suffered from what Rick Warren says are the seven last dying words of a church. And here they are. We've never done it things like that before. We've never done it that way before. Write it down. We've never done things that way before. And all these churches died from those five characteristics described about the church. Again, this raises a question. What is wrong with the church? I'm glad you asked. Because with the time I have remaining, I want to mention five essentials that must happen if the church is going to survive today. Number one, it's important that you note these down. Preaching must be priority number one in the church. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." We were in an elders meeting the other day, and all the elders and myself agreed that we are here right now. We're at a time in our nation when people just want to hear what they want to hear. I preach on controversial subjects. The people of this church will tell you that. And I'm not afraid to step on their toes and my toes alike. Because I think it's high time that the church stood up for what was right. I think it's high time that the church said something about Ten Commandments in our schools. I think it's high time that the church said something about prayer being put back in our schools. And we're not going to take no for an answer because God doesn't want no. And we need to stand up for what's right. I was visiting with my friend Craig yesterday at Red Hill State Park. And I told him, "I'm preaching on what's wrong with the church." And he said, "Oh my, there's a lot wrong with the church." And I said, "Well, Craig, what do you think's wrong with the church?" And he said, "The church don't have any backbone." And I thought, well, that's nothing to say about the Church of Jesus Christ. But on the way home, I got to thinking, Craig was right. The church oftentimes don't have a backbone. They don't stand up for what's right. I think it's important that preachers preach on controversial subjects like homosexuality and abortion in our country that we have called legal now. I want you to know, it might be legal in America. It is not legal in the eyes of God. It is not legal in God's book, and it's just as wrong in Sodom and Gomorrah as what it is today. And we need to preach against it. I think what Paul's saying to his friend Timothy is this: you preach in season when things are easy, but you preach out of season when things are difficult too. And I truly believe in our world today, we are living in some difficult times. I think it's difficult raising three kids. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I know what some of you older ones will think. I'm glad I don't have kids in school right now. Because it's tough. Trying to teach them to live different than the rest of the world. Different than the people they go to school with. Different than the people they work with. Different than the people they play with. It's important that we preach out of season as well. Preaching must be priority number one. Secondly, not only is preaching priority, but the Great Commission is practiced by all. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." It doesn't sound like the sinner's prayer to me, does it to you? No. Friends, I want you to know tonight that the Great Commission is not just for preachers. It's not just for teachers. It's for everybody. And the people that say, "Well, we hired you to make things happen," you make them happen. It's like the preacher waving his magic wand, hoping things are going to happen. That's not what Jesus meant when he gave us the Great Commission. I want you to know the Great Commission is for every baptized believer. And if you're baptized, you have a responsibility to invite somebody to church. You have a responsibility to share your faith with people that don't know Jesus Christ, the people around you. And I want you to know it's easy to become complacent because I've done it before. You think of all those Indiana people I work with in Toyota, I'd have ample opportunity to tell them about Christ. I want you to know I'm scared of them because they're crazy. They're absolutely crazy over there. Delight's she's shaking her head. They're not crazy. They need Jesus too. But there was opportunity after opportunity that I did not take because I didn't know how they would accept the message of Jesus Christ. Shame on me. Can I say this? Shame on you sometimes too. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But put in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." We don't always do that, do we? Dwight L. Moody, I love the story that he told from the pulpit one time. He said he had a woman come to me and say, "Mr. Moody, I don't like the way you evangelize." To which Mr. Moody said, "I don't like the way I evangelize very well either. How do you evangelize?" And the woman said these words, "Oh, I don't evangelize. I just let other people do it." To which Dwight L. Moody said, "Well then, I like the way I don't like to evangelize better than the way you don't evangelize at all." Dwight L. Moody was right. And you know, our methods may not always be great, but at least we got to have some type of method of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Every Monday morning, Sherry will tell you, my secretary, I come in the office and I go right over to the attendance board out there and I see how many people was there. Well, today we had 96 people. And you might be sitting back there thinking, "Well, preacher, those are just numbers." No, they're not just numbers. Don't ever let someone tell you that lie. They are not just numbers. Those 96 people represent every person that Jesus Christ loves and died for. It's not about, it is about numbers. And you know what? I believe that numbers are important. And I do believe that they're everything because they do represent people. Ministers, teachers, elders, deacons, you need to check your attendance board. You need to see who's here and not here. And after 2 weeks of missing, 2 or 3 weeks of missing, you need to get on the phone and say, "Hey, we missed you at church." Or send them a card and tell them that you care about them. Because I want you to know today, there are a lot of hurting people in our world today. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. I know a lot of people who've dropped out of the church because they're hurting and the church wasn't there for them. Shame on us. Shame on me. The Great Commission is for every baptized believer. So get a plan of how you're going to go. The third essential needed in our churches today to survive is this. They must stop living in the past and start living in the present. If you were to ask any longtime member of any church about when the good old days were, they probably wouldn't focus on the here and now. They would focus on, you know, back in 1975, we had 200 people come and the church was full. You ever hear that before? Church was full, the church was thriving. I want to encourage you tonight to bloom where you're planted, to be that encouragement to the people around you, and to be willing to make these days the best days of the church. Stop living in the past. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was given the grim responsibility of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. I want you to put yourself in his shoes. He was surrounded by a bunch of crybabies. Can we just call it like it is? And he had persecution from within, and he had persecution from without. And God says, "Nehemiah, I want you to build the wall around Jerusalem." And here's what I think Nehemiah said the first night. "Yeah, right. Yeah, right, Lord." And he had plenty of persecution. But you know what? In 444 BC, Nehemiah built the wall around Jerusalem. Now, I know what the Israelites were thinking. I remember the good old days, the glory days, when the wall was around Jerusalem and the temple was there and it was absolutely beautiful. And we were in charge. And the Romans and the Babylonians and the Assyrians, they didn't have control of us then and things were beautiful. And they kept going back to those times, those earlier days. I want you to know, in the church, it's easy for us to go back. Do not get caught up in the past, the glory old days, and forget that we're in the here and now. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If we continue to live in the past, if you continue to live in the past in your church, then your church will eventually be a house, an apartment building, or someone else will take your church and they will build it into another church. Don't ever, ever, ever give up on the church unless you have tried everything in your power to make it to survive. A fourth essential need in our churches today is this: we must never allow sacred cows to hamper or even destroy the growth of the church. Now, what is a sacred cow? It's a great question. A sacred cow, taken from the Hindu belief that cows were sacred, you couldn't eat them, you couldn't touch them, you couldn't hurt them. We have incorporated that into the church, and we have formed ideas, customs, objects, and even people to become our custom cows, our sacred cows. Here's some examples. Well, the pastor before you didn't do it that way, and you're not going to do it that way. Ever heard that before? We're not going to change that carpet because that carpet was put down in 1950 in memory of Mr. and Mrs. Smith, charter members of the Central Christian Church. I want you to know, last week we pulled the carpet up. We put tile down and new furniture, and those sacred cows, we buried them. In all reality, maybe that carpet was served for a purpose, and maybe it was put in the memory of somebody. You know what? That's fine. I don't have any problem with that. One of the things that Johnson Bible College does, I still call it that. It'll always be that for me. One of the things they do that a lot of people don't like, and I'm a little bit reserved about it. If you give like $5,000 to the school, you can have a brick and you can have your name put on it. And, I don't know. I'm kind of caught in the middle on that. But I'll tell you what. The school is thriving right now. And they're actually, to my knowledge, are turning students away because they don't have room for them. That's a great problem to have. So maybe I don't like that brick idea too great, but I'll tell you what. The outcome of what's going on over there is a great thing. And they have millions and millions of dollars rolling in to Johnson Bible College, Johnson University, because people are interested in the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know what your sacred cow is. Maybe it's this pulpit. Maybe it's the pews. I remember when Christian Church of Olney put chairs in their auditorium, I thought the world was coming to an end. Bill probably remembers that when that all happened. And I thought, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have pews or chairs. It doesn't matter if you have a pulpit or a lot of ministers are leaning up against the table trying to fall asleep during their own sermons. I don't know what it is, but what is your sacred cow? I was reading about a minister one time. The pulpit was all the way on this side, and he moved it all the way over here because he wanted on the other side of the stage. Well, they fired him over the deal because he moved the pulpit. The next minister came up, and he moved the pulpit. And he only moved it 1 inch every Sunday until eventually it was all the way on the other side. Well, the other minister was visiting one time and he said, "How'd you get the pulpit from there all the way over there?" And he said, "I only moved it 1 inch every Sunday," and they didn't even notice after about 20 Sundays. Sacred cows. Friends, I want you to know that we have got to remove our sacred cows from our churches if we ever expect to grow. How about this one? Don't you dare let the kids go in and get that room dirty because that room was dedicated to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, and we're not going to let the kids in there. We have to decipher a lot of things that happen in the gym. They just waxed it this week. So one of the guys called me and said, "Can I play ball?" I said, "Nope." "Come on, man, I got a bunch of guys playing ball." I said, "Nope. Can't play. Florida's got waxed. Can't play till Sunday night, so you guys can play later on tonight." Now, that's not a sacred cow, but I think there is some common sense into taking care of God's house, and I think it's important that we do that. But don't allow God's house to become something that's not functional. If you don't allow kids to go in the nursery when the nursery was built for the kids, then you're doing something wrong in your church. And I don't like kids running in the church, not very much. But I probably won't say anything to them. You know why? They're the future of the church. And when they make a mess on the gym floor that we just waxed, I'm going to clean it up. You know why? They're the future of the church. And if we continue down this path that we're going of our sacred cows, eventually they're not going to be in the gymnasium, and they're not going to be in the nursery, they're not going to be anywhere, and the church eventually is going to die because we didn't invest wisely in our kids. One of the things I appreciate most about Central Christian Church is all of our elders and myself know the importance of these kids right here. And when we don't, we're in trouble. Get rid of the sacred cows. Lastly, and definitely not least important, is music. I could spend an hour talking about music. Because music has caused more trouble in our churches, and it has closed more doors in our churches than any other sacred cow. I get notes and phone calls Monday morning. Can we sing some of my songs next Sunday? Yeah, we can. So I call the worship leader and I said, can we sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus? We sang that tonight for you guys. And then Ching said, well, are we going to have all old hymns? I said, nope. You know my policy. 2 songs for the young kids and 2 songs for the old. Yeah, but this is 5th Sunday rally. I don't care. 2 songs for the young people and 2 songs for the old people. Can I get an amen? We've got to compromise by allowing everyone to worship in our worship services. Old people, young people alike, we've got to be open-minded. Someone said that minds are like parachutes. They're only good when they're open. There's a lot of truth to that. The 5th and final essential needed in our churches, if we're going to survive, is this. We need good old-fashioned prayer. We need to start praying. Ephesians 6, 18 through 19, the Apostle Paul writes, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. I want you to circle that in your Bibles. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people, and pray for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Every morning, every Sunday morning when we have Sunday school, Mike Moser goes around the room. Can I ask what you need prayed for? And I said, pray for 5th Sunday rally. I've never preached at 5th Sunday rally before. So he prayed for me 5th Sunday rally. But I think what we need more than anything, especially during this coronavirus, is prayer. Our church buildings need to be full on prayer night. The women meet at 12 o'clock on Tuesday, and we meet at 6:30 on Tuesday. And I don't know how many of the women have, about 10, I think, but we have about 6. I'd like to have about 16. And I want to take this from the words of our friend Ben Merrill. We need to stop having prayer request meetings, and we need to start having prayer meetings. We can go over the prayer list for an hour and only pray 15 minutes, and we expect God to answer a 25-cent prayer. How many of you agree we need to pray more? Did you know that the average Christian only prays 3.5 minutes a day? And it's about the same as being in God's Word, about 3.5 minutes. And those are terrible numbers. And it's no wonder that our churches are struggling. It's no wonder that ministers are discouraged and elders and deacons don't want to serve anymore because they have lost the art of praying. Friends, we just need a lot of prayer. Our churches need a lot of prayer. And when you pray, and when you pray like you're supposed to, I want you to know your church will grow, I promise you. We need to learn how to pray. I believe that Satan is working overtime. When you begin to grow, I'm going to give you a warning. Here it is. Satan's going to pay attention to that. And he's going to do everything in his power to keep you from growing. Bob Russell, senior minister for 40 years at Southeast Christian Church, a church that is about 25,000 people now. It's a big church. They do a pretty good job for as big as they are. He talked about a time when they were at a mark they couldn't grow. They just couldn't grow. They couldn't grow. They did everything in their power to grow. They just couldn't grow. And finally, one of the leaders came forth and confessed that he was having an affair. The elders and Bob went to this guy and they said, you need to step down and you need to get your life straightened out. Anybody want to guess what happened to the church at Southeast Christian Church? It started growing. And that church blossomed and it continued to grow, and it continues to grow today because they saturate everything in prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock, upon this confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Friends, what's wrong with the church? a lot. Because it involves imperfect people like you and imperfect people like me. But together, we can make the Church of Jesus Christ work. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, I'd like to give you some questions. Ask you some questions about the church. I want you to write them down. Because this will help you if you're stagnant in your church. Number one, is your church growing? If not, then it's dying. And if it continues to die, guess what's going to happen? It's going to turn into another apartment building. Aren't you tired of that? I hate going past church buildings that turn into apartment buildings. Number two, stop asking what's it going to take for your church to grow and start asking this question from Rick Warren. What or who is keeping our church from growing? What is it? Is it a thing? Is it a sacred cow? Is it a person? And Barney Fife says, nip it, you know. Number three, how is your giving, especially your mission giving? Because I truly believe as your mission goes, so goes your church. Anyone else? Am I alone? As your mission giving goes, so goes your church. Number four, is your church full of sacred cows stuck in the past ways of doing things and not looking to the future? If so, nip it now. Number five, does your church have a visionary statement and are they sticking to it? Central Christian Churches reads like this: building disciples that will impact our community in Jesus' name. Every once in a while, we have to go over that and make sure that we're sticking with our vision statement, you too. Number six, is your church evangelistic? Does it reach out to the community? Do people show up because you invite them? Or do people just show up to sing a few songs, partake of communion, listen to a sermon, and go home and do the same thing over and over and over and over? And number seven, I love this one the best, is your church a welcoming church? I kind of like the carpet we had back there. I'm just going to be honest with you. But you know what? I like that tile floor so much more. And one of the reasons we did that, and some of the reasons that you're doing that in your church, it is a proven fact that your welcoming foyers have got to bring welcoming, whatever the word is, an environment. So that's pretty good. And we got new furniture, and that's pretty good. We're going to get a nice welcoming desk. And our whole purpose for doing that is not to impress people. We don't care about that. Our whole purpose for doing that is so that Central Christian Church can be a welcoming center for people. So they might come and get in there someday and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to close with this. Mark Twain is one of my favorite authors. Anyone else? In his book, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Mark Twain describes a church building that never had its doors closed. How many of you remember those days? You could walk in the church anytime you wanted. And in that unlocked church, even the pigs would come in and lie down because the tile floor in that church would cool their bellies from the summer heat. And Twain would go on to say, if you notice, most folks don't go to church except only when they have to. But them old pigs, they're different. They go because they get refreshed. Well, I guess I must be like an old pig. Don't say anything. Because I love the Church of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday morning, I look forward to going to the Church of Jesus Christ. I love the fact that I can go and I'm not perfect. And you can go and you're not perfect. And I love the fact that Jesus Christ died for the church and He is my Lord and He is my Savior. And He is the only hope that I have of spending eternal life in heaven. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for the church. I know it's not perfect. I'm not perfect. None of these people in this room are perfect. But Lord, I love the church. And I love the fact that Jesus Christ died for the church. He died for me. And Lord, even though the church is imperfect in several ways, Lord, I realize that even in the midst, Jesus still died for us. Lord, help us as we examine our churches. Help us to realize whether or not we're a welcoming church, whether we're a forgiving church. Lord, just help us. Help us to get rid of our sacred cows. Lord, help us to realize that numbers do matter because numbers represent people. And it's those people that we're concerned about, that they'll have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ.
And it's in his name we pray. Amen. All right. I found out from Dan Hutchinson that I have to be the guy up here in charge of the business meeting. So if you'll give me that paper down there.
Oh, by the way.
I'm the vice president, but you can go ahead and call the church names and I'll write down the attendance. My brother's the president. My brother's the president. He is set close right now.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Yeah.
Go ahead. The silver bowl fired outside by the 253-8971 Carolina Girl.
Okay, you have a dead battery. But we'll help you out. We're the church. Oh, anybody didn't have communion this morning, raise your hand. Did anybody not have communion? All right, we're good to go. If you did not, meet up here after church and we'll give you communion. Go ahead.
Well, just go down and look at the names and yell them, or just tell me and I'll yell them, because I don't know all the churches anymore. Lawrenceville Central. I'll do that one first. And you can't win, but... Wow, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. Where at? Oh, hi. 42. You can sit down. Bethany, we had more than that this morning. Pleasant Ridge. I'm just going to do the ones I can remember here right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7? 8. Did not see you. 9. Do I hear 10? Is there one in the kitchen? Bethany. Seven. Okay. Bridgeport first. Hold on. Don't. 2. Hebron Road. New Hope. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Unless there's somebody short, 8. Rising Sun. 5. Okay. I didn't have to take my shoe off. St. Francisville. Sumner. How many? Not many? White House. Is that it? Visitors. Oh, hi. Our piano player at Marion. Hi. Oh, my goodness. She's got to get well because she hasn't been able to play the piano lately. Okay, and we multiply this by mileage for Fifth Sunday, right? I think we do, don't we? Yeah, for Fifth Sunday we do, don't we, mileage? Yeah, I'm serious. At Kingdom Village, you don't unless it's a tie. But I think Fifth Sunday Rally, it's mileage. How many miles is New Hope from here? What is it? Huh? It's going to be very important. You got to. 5 miles. How far is Bethany? How far is Bethany? 10 miles? Oh, Bethany won. Okay, hold on here. I'm going to get the count here real quick. You're putting me. Why don't you come up here and talk? It is at October 31st. It is at New Hebron Christian School. 7 o'clock. And I don't know who the speaker is.
It's at Pleasant Ridge Christian Church. And Hebron Christian School will be
it's going to be New Hebrew Christian School, but Pleasant Ridge is hosting it. Did not know that. Do you know who the speaker is going to be? Okay. So next meeting's October 31st at Pleasant Ridge, but New Hebrew Christian School is hosting it. We had 75 here tonight. Bethany, don't forget to take the banner home. And you go ahead. Go ahead. Fish fry, yes.
And so we would invite everyone to come. All of the proceeds go to our levy district to help support them. And so they take care of us. We want to help take care of them. And so we serve good day.
What's the time? What's the times, band?
Beginning of serving at 4:30 until...
It's gone. That's what I've heard. Anybody else have an announcement? Yes.
This weekend is family camp at Oil Bell, and next Sunday night, a special service at the camp celebrating their 75th anniversary.
Mike Knepper and John Snouts? Okay, a lot of, okay. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of father-son.
Father-son duos, yeah. If you have a chance to make it, at least on Sunday night, if you can't any other time, but yeah, good stuff. 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Thank you. Any other announcements? If you'd stand, Garth, would you close with prayer?
Hey, we got ice cream and cookies right over here.
Oh, we got ice cream and cookies. You go out to your left.
It is John.
It is John. Yes, and it, after prayer, go out to the left if you would ask the blessing on the food, Garth, and don't scratch the sacred cow. Amen. Amen.